Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Carries a briefcase.
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It's has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster. That's not even a word.
That beat like he stole something, Mr. Bosley.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. De John Watson, pase, touchdown! Touchdown, Clemson! Renzo! Con un segundo!
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle. I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold him out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out on the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold. The golden scepter is ours. Clemson downs Alabama 44-16 to win their second national championship in 3 years and their third overall.
Now Kwok and Kelly.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us here on WCCP 105.5. The Roar. It is Out of Bounds. William Quaggamush, Kelly Gramlich. I don't know why that was so phonetic how I said that today. We're live in the Priority One Security Studios. Priority, the number one, security.com. Priority One Security, serious security. Happy Monday, March 18, 2019, the post-bracket day, the first day where you get to just absolutely, you get to overemphasize your own opinions that will be absolutely in the shredder by Friday. We're all the smartest people in the room from now until Thursday at noon. Kelly's got a bracket printed and filled out. I've not printed one yet. I need to print one just to fill out during the show, but I have my one bracket that is filled out, the preliminary bracket, okay? Mm-hmm. The preliminary bracket on ESPN.com. I'm in three groups. I'm loving it. I'm feeling it. And I'm also going to do several other, like I'm going to do a BPI bracket this year, a KenPom bracket. I just want to see if you just went by, last year the KenPom bracket did okay.
How many, first of all, hello Kwok.
Hello Kelly. Yeah, we haven't seen each other in days.
It's been so long. I can't remember the last time, except when we both been on vacation, that I haven't seen you over a span of 4 days. And it was shocking, really.
That's a weird word to say.
Just myself, to my belief system, everything
system.
I believe in. Yeah, it was a shock to the system. But we're back, and we're doing 6 hours of radio today, so right back on track.
Wonderful.
We have to mention that in the very first segment, and pretty much every single segment. We better see you, listener, whoever you are, at Local Q tonight, 4 to 7 p.m. for our bracket tip-off show. We're very excited. Lots of really, really good food. They're having drink specials, 21 and up. Just remember that.
Right.
The Vault's going to be there giving out some free gear. So make sure you show up. We're very excited. And we'll have brackets printed out for you so you can fill them out and follow along. And then you'll have to go to WCCPFM.com and enter our bracket challenge, which is live now. If you want to get your name in there and start filling it out, you don't have to be done with that until Thursday. So you have time. But the winner wins a trip for two to Las Vegas, Kwok. To Vegas. That's a pretty big deal.
Vegas, baby. Or as Bill Walton likes to say, Las Vegas. Did you hear him keep on correcting Dave Pasch last week? Las Vegas.
I was in hotels a lot the past couple of days, so I was watching a ton of basketball, and I did listen to a good bit of Bill Walton at the Pac-12 tournament, and it was maybe Thursday night or Friday night, one of the early rounds, where he just started defending the Pac-12 as much as he could and talking about how so many teams in the league deserve bids and the committee has no idea what's going on and all this stuff. And Dave Pasch just... He didn't even know
Dave
how
Pasch,
to handle him at that point.
Dave Pasch is kind of like I mean, Walton's like your weird neighbor that knows a lot, but also has seen better days.
And does drugs.
Right. So he's like, what he's saying is like smart, but in a way that's not helpful. So like he's quoting Gandhi in these broadcasts and he's like quoting philosophers and you know he's well read and he's well meaning and he's super smart and he'll say some super smart stuff and he will just follow that up with the dumbest, most inane, off topic comment that you've ever heard.
Or and he'll just quack multiple times as a grown man, just quacking on TV.
So Dave Pasch has to be like the sane adult who probably is not as smart as his partner, but is more in tune with what is actually happening
with reality.
In the real world. Yeah. Uh-huh. So anyway, in a way, it is like many conversations that I have on Twitter with folks.
Yeah.
In a way. So I understand Dave Pasch. And Dave Pasch did tweet out, "I'm free" yesterday. So that was really
fun. Break free of your chains, Spike.
Conference of Champions.
I can't believe the Conference of Champions got three teams in this tournament. I really cannot.
They got three teams.
That was such a stretch. And of course, they helped themselves by Oregon beating Washington, of course, winning the Pac-12. So they had to put two in. But of course, they were going to put Arizona State in. Of course, in the first four, again, ridiculous. But I did like that the West Coast Conference champion got a higher seed than the Pac-12 champion.
Yes,
really
that makes a lot of sense there.
Or a lower seed, a better seed.
You were at the Big South Women's Tournament. One thing I want to say about tonight, we are going to gather after the Bracket Tip-Off Show and watch and see where the Lady Tigers are going.
I am so pumped.
We'll be there for you. So we're going to try to get a nice crowd in there.
Yeah, so if you want to stay and hang out, we will gladly, we'll be there. Hanging out, watching the selection show. It starts at 7 o'clock Eastern. I don't know why I said Eastern. I don't know. 7 o'clock.
We flip into Central Time at some point in local queue. Like it's one side of the restaurant on the like in another county where we're going no daylight savings.
But Quack, you know, you and I both are under the assumption we believe that prayer does work. And I need everyone out there praying, thinking, Waco. Waco, Waco, Waco. Your girl really wants to go to Texas for this tournament. And Kwok needs to see the great state. He needs to see it.
I'm also a believer that God laughs at us. And so I'm in total
so
agreement internally that we are going to Storrs, Connecticut, or we're going to like Spokane, Washington.
Do not speak that into existence, Kwok.
We'll get like
Stop
a 10
it.
Seed. We'll end up a 10 seed in
Stop
Spokane.
It.
We're not going to Eugene. I've already said no. No, no, no. As badly as you want to go to Waco, I do not want to go to Eugene.
I'm with you on that.
I saw Nike. We toured the
arena.
We've
been there.
I don't need to do that again. The weird floor with the five different colors of wood on it with
it's
the weird trees.
It's mainly the flights. It's just the flights.
Oh, man. Hey, we're almost there. This will be a 3-hour and 40-minute flight from Denver.
Waco's just a hop, skip, and a jump. It's just a short little flight.
Short little flight.
Yeah.
Quick little flight. Anyway, you had fun with the Big South Women's Tournament this weekend.
I did.
Radford won that.
I was very excited to be able to work that. We did four games in 4 days. Radford won that tournament, so they'll be punching they have punched their ticket to the big dance. Quack, I had never, I saw a PC. We did a PC Radford game. UNC Asheville was in there, Campbell. So some local schools somewhat around here. But I have never done a championship game. So that was a really cool moment.
Nice.
To do a game that meant so much to both programs and really to Radford, who was 17-1 in the Big South this year. They should have won it. And they hadn't won it since 1996. So it had been a very long time. And to see them celebrate, to see them, you know, freaking out and to call that moment was really, really cool. So it was a great experience. And I very much appreciate John and Zach filling in while I was gone. I really appreciate it and the opportunity to go do these kind of things that management affords me. But I'm also super glad to be back and excited to see where the Lady Tigers end up and call an NCAA tournament game with you.
And for the text from the 864, yes, the Lady Tigers are expected to be in, and they are expected to be in that 8-9 seed range. I would say basement, a 10 seed. There's a slight chance they could be a 7 seed because of the strength of the ACC through the top and into the middle. But most of the bracket projections that we've seen pretty much all year have had the Tigers from an 8-9 seed in that
range. I'd
be
pretty surprised if they're a 7.
I would, too.
And
I'd be kind of surprised if they're 10.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked because Clemson's RPI is not great. So if they put him at a 10 because Clemson hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt in recent years, you know, then I would understand that. But I think they belong in the 8 or 9 slot and probably the 9 slot.
We have a significant bracket conversation to have today. So we're going to hit on a lot of stuff. We're going to hit on the 1 seeds and their paths. we're going to hit on trends and games that we're concerned about and all this stuff without blowing anything, unless you really just want to. I'm going to try not to blow anything before the show tonight. And even then, I'm going to reserve the right to make changes because it is really hard to get a bracket ready, professionally speaking, not just to throw in your office pool. Like, if you want to have one and you say, take 5 minutes. Like, I saw it was Tim Brando. It was a Mark Packer, I think, is the one. Mark Packer on Twitter said, take 5 minutes. Write it down. Your first instinct's going to be right more often than not. Just do that. You're gonna be glad that you did. It is hard professionally to just do that and be okay with it because we feel like we need to give you guys another level of analysis, another level of preparation. And I think that's what you expect. So it is difficult to have a bracket that meets that standard done by 4 o'clock today. So what you hear in the show, I'm going to give all the hosts a pass on this. What you hear on the show tonight may not be what we end up with on Thursday, but I'm going to try to get as close as possible so that people aren't, you know, hearing one thing and then another and wondering what happened.
Yes.
You know?
Completely agree. I mean, there's still injury stuff out there. We don't know about specific people. Dean Wade for Kansas State.
Dean
We're
Wade
still
is
not
a big
sure.
one. Marcus Howard hurt his wrist and played for Marquette. We don't know about that.
So there's a lot, you know, and then the first
Kansas,
four. The first
yeah.
four is tough. And our bracket challenge doesn't count the first. So let's say Belmont beats Temple. You'll just have Belmont in there. You don't choose the Belmont-Temple game. So that's also
I do in the family pool. That's another thing.
I get that. And, you know, we've seen a team win a first four game pretty much every year. So that's an interesting part of this. But you're right. I spent 3 hours this morning just doing a bracket. And I still, we'll see.
I freaked out a little bit last night because I was in informational overload, did baseball yesterday. I mean, it was a lot, and I realized it's just impossible to do this. And so we're going to talk a lot about selection today, a lot about how the brackets feel. It's going to be a lot of in your feelings today. How do they feel? What matchups stand out? I have 8 games that I legitimately don't know who I'm picking right now, so I might just point those out, and I feel fairly confident on the rest of them, at least to a certain degree of confidence, but there's 8 of them I have no idea.
And then I want to ask you about a lot of these ACC teams. These number one seeds, how many of them do you think can get there? Virginia, that's a huge topic of debate right now. Duke, I'll give you my thoughts on Duke. I knew Virginia wasn't going to fall off the one seed because they've literally lost 3 games all year.
Right.
And 2 of those are to Duke. But I almost feel like it would have been better for them to be a 2 seed. Just to start as
a
2 seed.
That's interesting.
Because if they do this again, Kwok, let's just put that if out there for a second. If Virginia loses to a 16 seed again, and don't tell me it could never happen because it happened last year, and they got beat. It wasn't a buzzer beater. That game was over. If they lose again, just think about what that would mean for college basketball. And think of the pressure on these guys. I think they're probably going to feel it. That's human nature.
Yeah, but is pressure, I mean, when you're supposed to beat a team by 20 or 25, I mean, last year was a fluke for Virginia. It was a fluke. That was a fluke game.
Sure. Yes.
A UMBC. I mean, they made like 12 threes, right? I mean, they played a perfect game. Nobody's playing a perfect game against Virginia this year. I mean, it didn't matter who it was. They're not going to get Gardner-Webb's not playing a perfect game. Gardner-Webb also was a 4 seed, right? Or 5 seed, whatever it was, in the Big South.
I think the running Bulldogs, the four.
I have a rundown, by the way, of who won conference tournaments. I think it's kind of interesting. What seeds won the conference tournaments, so we can talk about that some as well.
I'm just saying, don't let it happen again.
Speaking of that, if you do like the fill out your bracket in 5 minutes, you can go ahead and participate in our bracket challenge at WCCP. We got links all over the place to that. You go to WCCPFM.com, click the link, fill out a bracket. Like you say, the winner of our bracket challenge gets 2 tickets to Las Vegas. We'll continue to promote that throughout. So much to discuss. 654 roars the number. The first question that we're going to address in the next segment. Did the committee get it right? And it means a lot of stuff. The one seeds, the field, the placement, all of it. How was the selection process? I feel like there are very few complaints, unless you're a fan of teams that didn't get in, about teams that got in versus teams that didn't get in. But there are some complaints out there, and I want to break those down. And I want to hear your complaints. 654 roars the number, Lenore, thinking against Mullins, and your ideas about what kind of a job the committee did this year.
I think how they use the net rating was really interesting. But I also think that twice a year on this show and everywhere, we complain about a committee. And they're never, ever going to get it completely right. Ever.
Not in everybody's mind. It won't be a universal, yeah, everyone's okay. Everyone good with this? Okay, yeah, everyone's
people
good with
this. People are still mad about Notre Dame, Georgia, Ohio State, all that from this year.
That's true. Good point. This hour brought to you by our friends at Zero Res. Impress your friends and family with a clean home. Zero Res brings a whole new meaning to clean carpets. They're just like new. They use Empower water, so there's no residue, odors, toxic chemicals left behind. They're the best. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. Call 558-7300. No one can clean like Zero Res. Back for more in a moment. Out of Bounds returns next.
Whether you're looking for a quick lunch, celebrating a special occasion, or just want a great dinner with friends, Carson's is your place. Featuring hand-cut steaks from their in-house butcher, fresh-baked yeast rolls, and all the peanuts you can eat. Open every day. Enjoy happy hour Monday through Saturday, 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. with discounted appetizers, beer, wine, and cocktails. Try the golden fried catfish sandwich, filet mignon, or smoked ribs today. View their full menu online at carsonsteakwarehouse.net. Carson's Steak Warehouse and Saloon.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is the home of the lifetime warranty. At Granger Nissan, we are all about family, so we are looking for a play ball kid for every Clemson weekend home game. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson to register your kid. You don't have to do anything, and nobody's going to pressure you into buying a car. Simply come by and register your kid to stand at home plate and shout play ball. You'll get four tickets to the game, and your family and your kid will get an experience they will always remember. Granger Nissan of Anderson, proud partner of the Clemson Tigers.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Hunter Haynes here, manager of First Team Sports. We have everything that your child needs to take on the new athletic season. We provide the best sporting goods in the business, including all 2019 bats and gloves. Visit our in-store batting cage to demo bats and gloves to ensure you are getting a custom fit. First Team Sports has the best selection in the upstate with all the brands you love like DeMarini, Easton, Louisville, Rawlings, Under Armour, and Mizuno. Play local, buy local at First Team Sports. Come check us out at 2520 Wade Hampton Boulevard.
It's Dabo again. One of the fastest growing crimes these days is package theft. We're all ordering more online, and a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite the temptation. Priority One Security provides the protection you need with their video doorbell system. You can record any movement or answer the door from your smartphone, no matter where you are. Priority One. Trust in us.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
Blue Marble Deli in Seneca offers hearty sandwiches on fresh baked bread, soups, salads, delicious sides, desserts, and more. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Visit Pub Blue next door from 4 to 11 p.m. for nighttime entertainment, live music, pool tables, darts, 20 craft beers on draft, and gourmet pub food. Visit BlueMarbleDeli.com for more information. Blue Marble Deli and Pub Blue, 864-280-6717. 286 Market Street in Seneca, next to Los Amigos. You haven't tasted fresh like this.
Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
We're going to shake things up.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
The ball is there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star. And all the years.
Oh, yeah!
No one knows just how hard you want.
If you want to sing, you can.
You know.
Sure.
I like the part where he really gets it.
One shot a moment.
Hey, speaking of the song, did you happen to see what Ben Milstead tweeted about this song? I was pretty surprised.
Well, doesn't he hate it?
He's been a little anti One Shining Moment in the past, but he tweeted this just 20 minutes ago. One Shining Moment is a straight-up jam. Oh, I sing it in my car every day. I'm basically a young Luther Vandross.
And if we know Ben Milstead, he uses the phrase straight-up jam every 3 to 5 hours.
Always. That's definitely in his vocab.
Oh. This is a this is so fun.
You people think Kelly Gramlich is a nice person. You think she's nice, sweet little voice, you know, the angel of the station. She's a demon, people. She is.
I've been trying to tell people that.
Behind the scenes.
Not a demon deacon, though.
She's a cold-blooded assassin.
Cold-blooded assassin is really, that's true. You know, in the power rankings of people willing to hack somebody's social media, I really think in this station, Zach Orr is number one. Kelly Gramlich is number two. Milstead is number three.
Ben hacked me last week.
There's a huge drop-off after that. A huge drop-off.
Let's not forget, people, that Ben hacked me last week.
That did happen.
He said bad things about Texas. I had family members commenting on it, like, wondering if I was okay.
That was bad.
My uncle was flabbergasted.
I regret my actions. I hacked Kelly on Facebook. I did. Knowing that I was going to be gotten. And
you
got to
get
anyway.
Got.
And so I deserve the hack today. Well done. Finally, I will leave you with this. One Shining Moment is the worst song of all time.
You know,
that is disguised as a sports song. You've got to be kidding me, people.
Kelly just banished Ben. I'm not even sure that's possible. You know what?
I won't stand for this on our own program.
I don't disagree with what Ben just said. It's not a great song.
Do you need to leave too?
And look, would you just download it from iTunes?
We play it on road trips.
Well, of course we do, because we understand there's a significance attached to it. If it was never played with highlights of NCAA tournament, and if it was never a song on like NCAA March Madness 2005, which is low-key one of the best sports video games ever of all time. We used to stay up, pull all-nighters in high school, playing NCAA tournaments with Jason Capono, UCLA, dropping 33s a game on that video game. And they played it every time you go to the home screen. I'm not even sure what version it was.
To be clear, the we in that sentence is Kwok and his friends, not Kwok and me.
True. Yeah, yeah.
To be fair.
Me and my buddies in high school, we'd do it. I distinctly remember these times. I distinctly remember get-togethers where we'd stay up at each other's houses all night long and play this game.
When you hear One Shining Moment, it brings you back to a nostalgic, simpler time where all you had to do in life was play video games.
And you know something? When I was in, this sounds weird because college students, people think college students are unfeeling and unemotional. When I was in college and just out of college,
they do?
I used to get more emotional about like the emotional response because I could see my classmates and my friends in
there.
Have
you ever cried hearing One Shining Moment or watching One Shining Moment?
I've teared up a couple times. Not recently. Not in the last few years, but
I knew it.
Yeah, recently. Yeah. I mean, more than a contest, more than like being consoled. I mean, there are a couple of, and I, if
they
you
always
showed
show
them
someone
me,
crying in One Shining Moment too.
But I mean, they're like devastated. It's devastating. Honestly, One Shining Moment is more nostalgic and sad for me than it is like happy and jubilant and euphoric. Because it's the last college basketball game of the year.
It's the end.
You know, there's no more college football. There's no more college basketball. You got college baseball, but that's not for a few more months.
Well,
and you got a little
college baseball is happening.
Right, but I'm saying like the tournament, the NCAA tournament, and it is sad. It's a sad moment to me. I'm not good at looking back with like super duper fondness. You know, of the Ali Farouk Manesh, Northern Iowa beats Kansas. To me, it's more sad than anything else. So,
I didn't mean to bring you to this emotional place today. I just wanted to play some Luther and play this jam, Ben.
The texture from the 803, NCAA March Madness 2005 video game soundtrack had One Shining Moment on the PS2. We played it all day long. Texture from the 864 says, Kwok did play-by-play all night and color, two different voices. That's true, people. That's true.
Hello, Kwok's friends. on the Hell Dare tech line.
We had a lot of fun with that. Until
you guys were just crazy
six,
in college. You crazy kids.
Man. Yes, we
just
were.
Getting into all sorts of shenanigans.
Anyway, let's get to this tournament, shall we? Did you think the committee did a good job?
For the most part, yeah.
All things considered, good, not perfect, good job.
Any of these committees, which we tend to criticize two specific sports committees every year, the College Football Playoff Committee and the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee, we always have critiques for them, right? I think my one pushback this year is you introduce this net rating, right? And none of us are really sure what it means or how much you'll use it. We understand the differences. It counts home wins and road wins differently. And I like that personally because it's more impressive if you go beat a good team on the road than if you beat them at home.
I wonder about the, to me, it helped prop up some of the weaker, more mediocre power fives that it went all the way to 75. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It would have included Clemson's win at Miami as a quad one win if Clemson won that game. To me, that should be a second tier win. That should not be a quadrant
Miami
one win.
Miami jumped to top 75.
Miami was in the top 75. If Clemson had won that game, they would have been like 72 or something.
Okay.
It would have been a quad. I mean, think about Clemson's win over South Carolina was almost a quad one mm-hmm. win, and they didn't even make the NIT.
No, I see your point.
I definitely
see your point.
So I wonder if that needs to be tweaked, maybe bring it down to 20, 40, 60 or something like that.
It just seems weird, though, that they introduced this net rating. And I think, like most committees, they picked and choose when to use it to a certain extent. But the one glaring situation that just seems puzzling, and you can explain it either way, is NC State, right? Almost everyone thought they were in. Their net rating is 33. They beat Auburn, who turned out to be the SEC champion and win the SEC tournament. But the biggest critique of NC State, and you've talked about this, Kwok, I'm sure, the last couple days, their non-conference schedule was terrible. And we don't just mean terrible. Worst in the country. The worst one. Even with the Auburn game, which is crazy. So that's what they did. They punished NC State for playing no one. They punished NC State for not creating a non-conference schedule that was challenging. And that is what they can control. NC State can't control who they play in the ACC. They can't control who they get on the road or at home or whatever. But they can control their non-conference. And it seems like they tried to take an easy way out because they thought if they could finish 500 in league, they'd be fine. But I think the committee tried to send a message that we're not just going to prop up some of these power fives that go 500 in league and don't push themselves at all in the non-conference.
Yes, I thought the message the committee sent was very similar to what committees send to pass. Actually, I think it was Phil on Twitter said that they used RPI. And I disagreed. I said, and nobody's using RPI. RPI is dead. But I think the way we think about tournament teams, I can't say that same thought process didn't seep in here, because it did reward teams whose resumes were better than they had played. So the how you played part of the net rating, which it's very clear that how you play factored in there, maybe even more so than the RPI resume body of work parts, that part was more ignored. And they did seem to favor you didn't play a tough schedule, which I thought it was a compelling argument that a number of people made around the country, that strength of schedule is already baked into this. So we don't have to act like strength of schedule is something that nobody has considered. It's already baked into RPI. It's already baked into net. So whatever the RPI formula, whatever the net formula spits out, it's already in there. And it said North Carolina State was the 33rd
best
team.
That's true.
Here's what I don't like, though, is that you've got teams who are empirically worse, like St. John's. Okay, let's use St. John's as an example. St. John's has some good quality wins. They also had some terrible losses. Not only did they have terrible losses, they had, outside of a team like Clemson, they just had some gut-wrenching losses. They had some terrible performances.
Well, you know who had terrible losses, Kwok, too, was NC State.
That's true. NC State,
that really hurt them. The loss to Wake and that late loss to Georgia Tech.
I think if they beat Georgia Tech, they get in.
If they lose to Georgia Tech, they're probably in.
St. John's is 73rd in the net. 73rd. If you look at RPI, they are 66. So that's pretty low. That's about as low as any team that's ever gotten in. My issue with the way the net rating's used is that St. John, the only reason to put St. John's in this tournament is how they performed in quadrant one and quadrant two games, where they had five quadrant one wins. They were 10-10 against the top two quadrants. They also, by the way, lost by 20 to Marquette. They lost by 16 at Creighton, who didn't even get in. They lost by, they got blasted by something. They lost by 14 home to Providence. They lost 11 home to Xavier. They lost at DePaul by 9. They lost at home to Georgetown by 11. They lost by 8 at home to DePaul. Those are quad three games. So they had two quad threes. They had a decent strength of schedule of 74. Their non-con schedule, though, was 219. Which I've made the argument before, if you're playing the 150th ranked team and the 350th ranked team, you should still win. So I'm not sure why that's weighted so differently. However, St. John's, the reason to put St. John's in this tournament is how they played in their high-level games. How did we measure high-level games? What caused a game to be quadrant one? A team's ranking in what system?
The net rating.
The net rating. So we didn't use net rating, but we allowed games involving teams rated highly in the net rating to influence our reading on those teams and their results. That seems outrageous. That's like when the I've been critical of the College Football Playoff Committee on this. I think the College Football Playoff Committee should use a different system, Sagarin, some other system, rather than making their own top 25 and then saying, well, look at this team. They played four of our ranked teams. Well, yeah, you might have just thought that that team was the best, and so you just ranked four teams on their schedule just to give you a reason. This committee used the net rating to prop up teams and then rewarded teams for beating those teams without putting those teams in the tournament, if that makes sense. I don't know if what I'm saying makes total sense, but I think if you rationalize this, St. John's, in a system where they were 73rd, they were barely somebody's quad one win, okay? St. John's was barely somebody's quad one win. They had 10 quad one and two wins. They had five quad one wins, so they get in.
They also beat Georgia Tech and NC State didn't.
That's true. Look, I'm not saying NC State deserved to get in. I think by every rational measure, by every committee that's ever met, having a weak non-conference schedule and having a middling record in your league is a recipe to go to the NIT. Ask Seth Greenberg, who said the same stuff about NC State that people were saying about his Virginia Tech teams back in the day. Play somebody in the non-conference, then you get in.
I think what people were mad about with NC State is, like you said, they put St. John's in, who plays in the Big East, which is a good league. But with the ACC, when you look at all these teams that were one seeds, and then you look at the four seeds in Florida State and Virginia Tech, and just, yes, we all talked about the ACC being top heavy this year, but NC State still had to play in that very difficult league, and they felt like they weren't rewarded. Now, part of this, Kwok, one of the reasons NC State didn't get in and Clemson didn't get in, of course, I think was an indictment of the ACC being too top heavy.
Yes.
Because every team, the Duke, Virginia, Carolinas, Virginia Techs, Florida States, really, really good. Syracuse, NC State, Clemson, am I missing one team in there? And just Louisville, middle of the package, but still good. And, you know, you might not put all those in the same group. But the teams below Clemson, the Georgia Techs and the Wakes and the Miamis and the Pitts and BCs, those teams were so bad that NC State and Clemson couldn't prop themselves up on those wins.
Correct.
And I think that was the biggest issue. And then NC State, we didn't know it at the time, but NC State might have put a nail in their coffin by losing to not just one of those bottom teams, but two. That's why if Clemson beat NC State, I still think they had a chance.
I think they had a better shot.
They didn't lose to any of those bottom feeders.
What's interesting, though, is that the way that the bubble worked itself out, a lot of bubble teams won after Clemson lost. So
Florida, Minnesota, Ohio State, Arizona State,
Temple,
all those, yeah.
They all played their way into this field.
And you had the Pac-12 get another team with Oregon winning and St. Mary's get in too.
I thought it was clear that the committee really valued the conference tournament too, because the fact that UNC Greensboro was in the field until Oregon won, that says a lot.
That's
to me.
That's pretty crazy.
Because UNC Greensboro did not have a better resume to get in the NCAA tournament than Furman did. As an example, but they played deeper into the tournament and they beat Furman on a neutral floor that one time.
I would argue that you could also say that the committee didn't value conference tournaments because Auburn didn't really benefit from that win. Virginia loses and it doesn't matter. Now, well, they only have three losses, sure, but North Carolina loses, it doesn't matter.
I think
Gonzaga loses, doesn't matter.
Seeding-wise, you're right. I think seeding-wise, particularly at the top, that whatever you'd done the regular season mattered. I'm just saying strictly on breaking ties as to who got in and who didn't. It seemed like teams that played well in the conference tournament got in with their flaws, and teams that didn't play well in the conference tournament didn't get in with their flaws.
Can I say something quickly about Furman?
Yes.
Because I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter last night talking about Furman, you know, Furman was mistreated. They should have gotten in, all this stuff. Have I ever shown you that I have anything against Furman? I like Furman. I have nothing against Furman. Furman was not getting in this tournament.
Right.
Furman was not treated poorly here. Furman did not deserve to get in the tournament. They played 16 quad four games. 16. That is more than half your schedule.
They had to be Wofford.
They never had to be Wofford. They didn't even make the finals of their own conference tournament.
They did. It's fair to say they had a better win than anyone Wofford had or anyone UNCG had or anyone Belmont had.
That is one game.
Right.
They beat Villanova. They had one quad one win. They played 16 quad four games. They didn't lose any of them, but you played. That is over half your schedule. You didn't make the finals of your conference tournament, and you couldn't beat Wofford. I don't feel sorry for Furman. I think the NIT is a great accomplishment for Furman. I'm excited for what they can do. They might have a matchup with Clemson. That could be really fun. But to say Furman got screwed, I think, is a little ridiculous.
I really don't think there was that big of an outcry, even from Furman.
Maybe
folks.
I just saw a few on Twitter and thought, what is going on?
I mean,
you know how Twitter is. You see a couple things and you think everyone's talking about it.
I mean, I think Furman was promoting itself, and they should have. NC State, you saw what Debbie Yao said. I mean, that whole diatribe about the net rating and all this stuff trying to fight for NC State when it was very clear why they got left out. I mean, it sucks that these teams get left out, but you know, when your non-conference schedule is first, second, third worst in the country, there is all kinds of empirical evidence to suggest that you have a really hard time getting in unless the rest of your resume blows people away. That's what NC State had to do, and they knew it. They knew it. Nothing about that should have blindsided NC State. When you see how your strength of schedule comes out in the wash, you know that no matter how it's factored in to the different metrics, how it's baked into the formulas, all this stuff, that the committee is looking at that saying, they didn't challenge themselves in the non-conference. We're not getting in. You're not getting in if you don't challenge yourself in the non-conference. The committee, even with the net rating, which I want to say my prescription for this because I think it's an easy fix, but they're not going to do it because it's too easy. It's way too easy, but it also would change things a lot from the NCAA perspective. The net rating didn't change how the committee, what the committee valued in the room. Playing a bunch of good teams, winning a few of those games, having a pretty good conference resume or at least a good conference, not just being up on the bottom of your league and play somebody out of league. That's it. You only have to beat the teams out of your league. Just play them. Wofford got a 7 seed. Who did they played some tough teams out of league. They didn't beat them.
Wofford played North Carolina, Mississippi State, Kansas, Oklahoma, and South Carolina.
They beat South Carolina, right. But they didn't win any of those four. You don't even have to win them. You win a bunch of games and then play some good games. It's almost like either or. Belmont, you play a bunch of games and then you win a bunch of games, rather, and then you play a few difficult games. That's a good formula for a mid-major. Which, you know, let's say Furman had a few more quad three games, mm-hmm, or a couple more quad one games, I think they might get in.
Sure, I understand.
Which I'm not even sure if that's right or wrong.
I understand with Furman, you know, it can be tough to schedule in the non-conference. Some people don't want to play you or whatnot. I totally get that. That's a difficult thing when you're a mid-major, that part of scheduling. But I think Furman could have controlled their own destiny if they had beaten Wofford at least once, and if they had, I think, beaten UNCG and reached the SoCon final. At least reached the SoCon final.
More on this conversation coming up next. Stay with us. More Out of Bounds in a moment.
It's that time of year again when everyone is a basketball fan. Join 105.5 The Roar for Madness and Mayhem at Local Q, Monday, March 18th from 4 to 7. All our hosts will be there giving you all the information you need to fill out your bracket. Mickey, Zach, Brad, Ben, Quawk, Kelly, and Walt breaking down the brackets at the tip-off show, Monday, March 18th from 4 to 7. Local Q on Orchard Park Drive in Greenville. Remember, 21 and older. It's the tip-off show, Local Q on 105.5 The Roar.
If you missed out on the weekend sale at the Mattress Outlet in Seneca, don't you fret.
Through March, the outlet is keeping their prices at an all-time low so that everyone has a chance to save big money. Shop our now larger selection of Serta and Beautyrest mattresses and take your new mattress home same day. With the lowest prices and the largest selection in the upstate, the Mattress Outlet in Seneca is sure to have a mattress for you. Open 7 days a week, located off Highway 123 across from Chick-fil-A.
The first weekend of the NCAA tournament is the greatest betting event of the year. Whether you like filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting first round upsets, or all of the above, MyBookie is the perfect home for your March Madness fun. Will Zion Williamson and his teammates cement their legacy at Duke with a title? Can Virginia get past its loss to a 16 seed last year? And can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? If you know the answers, or even if you don't, MyBookie is the place to get in on the action. They have something for everyone, even you. Multiple bracket guy, MyBookie has been in business for years. Their goal is to give you the best customer service in the business. And the best part is, they pay out fast when you win. I'm talking 48 hours. Bet with the best. Then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash in. Deposit with MyBookie today with promo code RADIO for a 50% sign-up bonus. That's promo code RADIO. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Quag here for Hendrick Honda Easley. I've owned my Accord for several years, and I can tell you a Honda's the way to go. Hendrick Honda Easley has been in business 25 years, offering their customers a fair, fast, easy, and transparent experience. After you've purchased your new or pre-owned vehicle from Hendrick Honda Easley, believe me, their staff from service to finance is behind you 100%. See Hendrick Honda Easley online at HendrickHondaSC.com or in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Game day is perfect for a delicious pint of Clemson's Best gourmet ice cream made with ingredients fresh from South Carolina farms. Clemson's Best isn't low-fat, organic, or dairy-free. It's like nostalgic, home-churned ice cream in four southern flavors. Peaches and cream, strawberry shortcake, homemade vanilla, and caramel butter pecan with a fifth flavor coming soon. Made with 16% butterfat, Clemson's Best is a new standard in premium ice cream. Find some at an Ingles Market near you or at clemsonsbest.com.
Buddy's Automotive in Pendleton and Jasper Engines and Transmissions offer a cost-effective solution to your present engine or transmission trouble. Avoid a costly new car purchase or high lease payments by putting new life into your present vehicle. Let Buddy's Automotive in Pendleton install a Jasper remanufactured engine or transmission with a 3-year, 100,000-mile nationwide warranty and available premium service plan. Call Buddy's today at 864-646-3513.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
You play You Can't Rhyme It.
How does that go?
It's basically, you know, you try to find a word, a real word, that nobody can rhyme.
Okay. And Stonehenge.
Back to Quag and Kelly.
Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said
Out of Bounds, hour number one continues as we continue to talk bracket. This hour of the show is brought to you by Cycle Bar, located downtown Greenville, 307 East McBee Avenue, right next to Yeehaw Brewing, Greenville's only premium indoor cycling facility. They feature a state-of-the-art cycle theater with a stat system, music video capabilities, and dynamic lighting to make your ride unforgettable. Cycle Bar offers private parties, group rides, all that sorts of stuff, themed rides. Check out their website, greenville.cyclebar.com, to reserve your premium indoor cycling session today. You burn 500 calories per class on that bike for women and nearly 1,000 per class for men, 15 miles per class on the bike as well. Every first ride is free. Go check them out today. You do not have to be fit to get fit. That is Cycle Bar and greenville.cyclebar.com.
All right, later on the show, we're going to get to one word to describe each of the four quadrants. I'm excited about this. Also, we'll look at the one seeds. the one seeds and which ones have a manageable path, which and whether the top four teams actually were selected as one seeds. I want to get back into this, though, about the selection process, because one thing that we, and I guess maybe we were told this, but also we just sort of assumed this naturally, that the NCAA came out with this net rating, and it was a big deal because we knew that the RPI was broken. We knew that you couldn't go by it anymore, that we were too smart for the RPI, basically. We were too smart. We knew what good teams looked like. We knew what good basketball looked like. And so we needed a metric that better reflected a good team and better compared a mid-major to a high major, when we knew that the high major had way more opportunities to get high-quality wins, et cetera, et cetera. And it also allowed us to have a system that's not easily gamed. So we know that there were teams and programs who were beating the RPI by the way they were scheduling. It wasn't that they were, you know, scheduling more difficult games. It was that they were scheduling more difficult games in the eyes of the RPI, basically. And leagues were doing this. It was clear that the metric was broken. And so you come up with this net rating, and the committee, it seemed ludicrous that the committee would just ignore it the first year, because you want to validate it. For better or worse, you want to validate the ranking system. That's what we thought, and I think that was a logical position to take.
Well, I think in some ways the committee kind of took the middle ground, because NC State, and we're going to talk a lot about NC State because they're the team that everyone thought was left out, and they're an ACC team, and you know they theoretically beat Clemson to get in, but they didn't get in. In the RPI, NC State was 97.
That's a non-starter, by the way, in the RPI.
Right.
No team even close to that has ever gotten into the NCAA tournament.
In the net, they were 33rd. So it feels like something's wrong, right? Because I don't think they're the 33rd best team in the country, but I don't think they're the 97th. So how do you rationalize that? And how does net do that to NC State? And what it is, I think, is because you, like you said, on the road, quad one win is 1 through 75. That's a big range there. And because they racked up a lot of wins against some of these bad teams. They played 16 quad three and quad four games.
Yep.
St. John's played only 11. That's part of the difference there. But last year, if we're going by RPI, no one would have even thought NC State had a chance, right?
Right.
Because they're 97th.
The last two teams in were Arizona State and St. John's, which I have no idea how the last four teams enter: Belmont, Temple, Arizona State, and St. John's. And Belmont and St. John's don't get to play each other, and Temple and Arizona State don't get to play each other. I don't know why the first and like the 65 and 66 get to play each other, and the 67 and 68 get to play each other. I don't know how that worked. I didn't agree with that when the NCAA told us the last four in. Didn't like that. But the first four out, NC State wasn't even a first four out. The strength of schedule conversation, the two bad losses, all that stuff weighed against us so heavily that teams like Indiana, TCU, Alabama, and even UNC Greensboro, a high number of wins or a high number of quality opponents was weighed more heavily than NC State winning 20 or 21 games or whatnot. If you're in a mid-major league and you win a bunch of games, you're up there. As long as you're, you know, the you hadn't played a bunch of bottom feeders. Alabama, TCU, Indiana all had low marks in their leagues, but had some quality wins and bounced out with some bad losses. And none of those teams have really good resumes, and they all were ahead of NC State and by extension ahead of Clemson, Lipscomb, and you know, some other teams in there. Just seemed odd that they wouldn't use it.
What's interesting is that Clemson's RPI was 60th and their net rating was 35th. So last year when we used RPI, you know, mainly, 60th would have been in the discussion, but NC State's 97 in the RPI would have never been in the discussion.
Here's Jay and Clemson says this, and I want to be clear on this because people may have missed it. And I think freezing cold takes was made for days like this too. Jay and Clemson says, good afternoon. Everyone thought Clemson State was a play-in game. CBS reported Clemson wasn't even in the last four out. Y'all have a great day. Here's the bottom line. It was, at the time, a play-in game. Now, there were some people that said it was a play-out game where the loser was out regardless and the winner wasn't necessarily in. I think there were some people that had that perspective. Most people thought that, at the moment, the winner of that game was in. And then you have to wait as soon as you lose, if you lose the next game, no matter who you were playing, and NC State ended up playing Virginia, you have to sit there and watch other teams play their way in. And what happened was the NC State Clemson game was a play-in game, but that didn't lock them in. I think there was some, there's some degree of confusion about what that actually meant at the time.
Well, and we said it so many times, one bid leagues have to stay one bid leagues, and that didn't happen. Liberty beat Lipscomb. That didn't necessarily matter, but Belmont lost. They got in. That was a huge deal. Gonzaga lost. That was a huge deal. Arizona State won and played farther in the Pac-12 tournament to play themselves in. Washington lost. Oregon won. There's so many of these situations that really hurt Clemson. Really.
Vermont, let's go through one-bid leagues. Just one-bid leagues where you had where basically either you had one seeds win or two seeds win, and maybe they did or didn't make the tournament. America East was a one-bid league. Vermont was a one seed. They got in.
Can I tell you a quick stat about Vermont quickly?
Yes.
They are playing Florida State in the first round.
Uh-huh.
Of the eight players that average 10 or more minutes per game for Vermont, their tallest player is 6'6".
That's a problem. That's like Florida State's smallest
player.
They're
playing Florida State. Just putting that out there. I would not pick Vermont as an upset pick. Just saying.
The A-10 was a one-bid league. St. Louis as a six seed won that league. Davidson and Dayton both got in the NIT, but VCU lost. St. Louis stole a bid. So that's one bid thief right there.
Mm-hmm.
Lipscomb ended up going to the NIT, but Liberty won that tournament.
That one didn't necessarily hurt you, but it did because you beat Lipscomb.
Right.
But still, it was a one-bid league.
So
that's not necessarily a bid steal.
Right. But it did hurt your resume.
Yeah,
I think it did hurt Clemson to some degree. Montana in the Big Sky, they won as a one seed. In the Big South, Campbell was a one seed. They lost, but Radford was a two seed and the KenPom favorite. They lost to Gardner-Webb in the championship, and that hurt Clemson because Clemson beat Radford.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you have UC Irvine. They won the Big West.
The Anteaters.
You had Hofstra, who ended up in the NIT. They lost a one-bid league. That one didn't hurt you. Conference USA, Old Dominion won as a one seed. Horizon League, Northern Kentucky won as a two seed. Wright State, a one seed, NIT. Ivy League, Yale won as a two seed, Harvard, NIT, but Yale was a big favorite there as well as a two seed. Iona was a one seed in the MAAC. You had the MEAC. Norfolk State was a one seed. North Carolina Central was a three seed, beat them.
But Clemson beat North Carolina Central, so
right,
that was
right.
A good thing.
That was actually good. That's the one tournament that helped Clemson. Buffalo won a one-bid league in the MAAC. That was good. We said Buffalo needed to win. Then you had the Missouri Valley Conference of Loyola. Chicago lost. That actually probably hurt Furman a little bit. Bradley won that as a five seed.
It also hurt the world because Sister Jean won't be in the tournament this year.
She's in a tournament, though, the NIT. One-bid league, Mountain West. You could say maybe a two-bid league with Utah State, but Utah State still, I think, if they lose to Nevada, they're probably closer to the cut line. They're closer to the cut line. It was probably a two-bid league, but Nevada lost and made it academic. Let's see. Northeast Conference, Fairleigh Dickinson won as a two seed. St. Francis was the one there in the NIT. The Ohio Valley, I think, was a one-bid league if it was Belmont. Even though they got two teams in this time and Murray State won the league, Belmont got in as an at-large. I don't think Murray State would have gotten in as an at-large.
It would have been close, but probably not. Belmont had a better at-large resume. So that's two right now.
Yes.
Two one-bid leagues that didn't
two
say
one-bid
leagues.
Then you got, you got Colgate and the Patriot. They won as a one seed. Wofford and the SoCon won as a one seed. You got Georgia State. Sam Houston State lost. That was another one that hurt Clemson because they beat Sam Houston State. Abilene Christian won as a two seed in the Southland. Georgia State in the Sun Belt. Prairie View A&M and the SWAC were one seeds. The Summit League, South Dakota State, that one wasn't anything, but North Dakota State won as a four. And then in the West Coast Conference, you had St. Mary's who stole a bid.
That's one that I think hurt.
That's three. So now I know that they weren't next four out. They're our first four out. Clemson wasn't. So maybe they still don't get in. But those were three bid thieves that over the weekend that hurt somebody, kept somebody out of there.
But you also have to mention the Pac-12.
That's true. Oh, yeah, I forgot about the Pac-12.
Because
Oregon.
I've said it all year. The Pac-12
totally
is a one-bid league. And they got lucky, and I think they want as many Pac-12 teams as possible, and they forced it a bit with Arizona State. But Oregon was not getting in. If Washington just beats Oregon, and they got blown out. If Washington beats Oregon in the Pac-12 championship, the Pac-12 just gets two teams.
That's true.
And if Arizona State doesn't win in that tournament in advance, then the Pac-12 gets one team.
I forget about the Pac-12 talking about one-bid leagues because it's so weird. But
most of the time, or should be, a one-bid league.
So that's four. And we know Oregon was a team that kept UNC Greensboro out of there. Boy, the Furman folks would have been mad if UNCG got it. I would have been kind of with them. All right, that'll do it for hour one. The committee should, well, I'll say this on the other side. I got one more thing to say about the committee, and then I want to get into this bracket a little bit because we got a lot to cover and not a lot of time today. Good hour one. Good start to the show. Hour two is coming up next.